All right, so I'd like to call to order this regular meeting of the Highland City Public Library Board. The time is, and this matters for notes, 7:07. I'm Kevin Tams, Vice Chair, presiding this evening. I want to note for the record that we have 3 board members present tonight, which does not constitute a quorum. We will proceed with this meeting for reports and discussions, but we will not be able to take any votes this evening. So first we'll open the floor to public comment. Seeing none, we're going to move on. And so now, by the way, the agenda includes consent approval of the April 2026 minutes, but because we do not have a quorum, we will table this item for our next regular meeting. And I think we want to go on to the action items to discuss the budget a little out of order. Karen, is that right?
We are going to go out of order because we have our
Finance Director
David Mortensen here. And we'll just give David the floor. If you have questions, I thought it'd be great to
good to see you.
Have David explain some of the things as we go through the budget.
I'm here.
So, yeah, Wes is here.
And Kevin.
Hi, Kevin.
Hey.
We're missing
the dedicated ones are here.
Yeah, the important ones are there, right?
Yeah.
They're doing good things. Europe, opera, camping.
Like, yeah, you can't judge that.
I wish I were doing one of those things.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, thanks for letting me crash your meeting here for a few minutes. Karen just asked me if I would join and just talk a little bit about the budget. Specifically, I wanted to talk about, and hopefully you can hear me okay, budget compliance. So every year we undergo an annual financial audit from a third-party independent auditing firm, and they look at many things. It takes months and months to go through, but one of the specific things that they look at is budgetary compliance. And so I wanted to talk about that just so that the board, the library board, is all aware of kind of how that works, what it is they look at, and what that means for the library for budgeting purposes and for operations and kind of the process that we go through during the year and at the end of year. As you know, we are approaching the end of year. We're in the final month of the fiscal year. So one of the things we do right now is we're analyzing all of the budgets and we're looking at all of the actuals, comparing them to what our original budget numbers were. And if there's places where it looks like we may be over budget, then we take a closer look at those and determine whether or not we need budget adjustments. So one of the items that will happen on the June 16th City Council meeting is we will be proposing budget adjustments through all departments of the city for such items that either we underestimated in our budget, our projections were a little bit off, something happened during the year that we weren't expecting that caused a higher expense. Revenues came in higher or lower than anticipated. There's various reasons and things that could happen that would cause us to need to adjust the budget. So that's kind of the process that we're going through right now. In the library, there's only a couple of things that we're looking at. There was a donation that was received by the Friends of the Library that was not part of the original budget. So we're adding that revenue in, and then just programming the places where that is to be spent. Karen, if I remember right, you said it's just all being spent on books and materials. So that's what we're proposing in our budget adjustment.
Yeah.
One thing I wanted to make clear is when we go through this process and when the auditors come and they look at budgetary compliance, they don't look at every individual line item in the department's budget to make sure each of those was under the budget amount. So the council sets all of those when they adopt the budget, but after that budget is adopted, for a state compliance standpoint, the director of the department has a lot of latitude in how the budget within their department is spent. So what that means is we could go over budget in employee benefits, which is one that we are projecting high in because of the overlap that we had with Donna and Karen. So we could go over budget in that line item as long as we are under budget enough in other line items to net to a at the very least zero, so that we don't receive a finding in our audit. So that's something that we watch closely. We analyze each department kind of as a whole, and look for if it looks like the department may be over budget, even if it's by a dollar, we would get a finding. So if it looks like that may happen, we will identify things that occur during the year that would give us good reason to propose an adjustment to make sure that we do not go over budget. So I just wanted you all to understand that it's not each individual line item, it's the library budget as a whole. The expenditures cannot go over what has been approved by the city council. And that's the whole reason why we do budget adjustments. So, and then just to clarify, when we do a budget adjustment, an increase in expense budget, that doesn't necessarily change automatically what happens to the library's fund balance or the cash reserves that we have. That all depends on the implementation of the budget, and that's Karen's part of the equation, and her job is to take that budget and the fund balance, the direction from the board and from the city council, and to spend it wisely and prudently as directed. And so only her decisions in how to use that budget would affect whether we have a surplus at the end of the year, whether we have a deficit. But basically, I guess the bottom line of what I wanted to convey is that we're not allowed to have a deficit at the end of the year. We can't overspend our budget without getting a finding from the state. They're not too mad at us the first one time or maybe two times, but if it's a repeat thing and we're consistently over budget, they'll get after us a little bit more and make sure we're doing what we need to correct the issue. And so when we are budgeting, the initial budget in June and then budget adjustments as well, we do try to account for unknowns and budget conservatively is the way I've always been taught, that we estimate our revenues a little bit low in the budget and we estimate our expenditures a little bit high, so that if things come in right where we think they actually will come in, we're probably going to receive a little bit more revenue than what we budgeted because we were conservative with our estimates, and we're probably going to spend a little bit less than what we budgeted because we were conservative there and wanted to make sure that we don't end up with a finding at the end of the year. So that's really, really kind of what I wanted to communicate. I'm happy to answer any questions that you have, or if you want to send me an email anytime or come to my office and talk to me more about the whole process and the audit and all of that, I'm happy to meet with each one of you individually.
I do have a question that I think could be pretty quick here.
Sure.
Looking at the budget for the library, it has indirect costs, which is the utilities, et cetera. Then we have a different line item for IT. In every place I've ever been, public or private, indirect includes IT. So why do we have it separated?
So basically what we have is there is a separate IT, and really that is because we have a separate IT fund. And so we account for those charges separately so that we can bill that fund accurately. And each department within the city pays into that fund to pay for all of the equipment that's used in the city. And then the other administrative overhead, that's the costs of administration. So basically anything that's not personnel related that is in Aaron's budget, administration, operating expenditures, those get split between all the various different departments based on their amount of budget for that year.
Right.
So it's just a percentage of how much their budget is. They'll pay for all of those administrative costs.
And this includes Jay's salary?
Not
salary. So with salaries, we actually budget, we allocate directly. So
that's not part of the indirect.
The portion of what he does for the library, we bill that directly to the library's GL accounts for payroll.
Okay.
So we don't have to do any type of an overhead or anything like that. It's directly charged based on our estimate of how much time he spends doing that.
Okay. Thank you.
David, I have probably a handful of questions, and let's see how quickly we can run through this so you can help me. Really excited to chat with you. So I do have an auditing background, but it was information systems, so I know a little bit about kind of what you're doing here. One of our questions as the board is, at times we will come in and approve a change to the budget. So Karen will come to us and say, hey, our chairs are bad. You know, I'd like to, we've got $70,000 of reserve. Can we go buy some new chairs? And then we say, yes, go buy some new chairs. And then she says, should I get them at Walmart? And we're like, no, buy ones that last. And so we give her latitude to go do what she needs to do. Because we have gone out of the standard budget, is that where it ends, or does Karen then need to go to the council to then get approval on that change?
Yeah, because it is all part of the city's overall budget, the council does have final authority over those budget numbers. So they would have to give a final approval in order for us to increase the budget. So if you told her to go ahead and do that and she went out and bought the furniture, but then the council said, no, we don't approve of that purchase. Okay, you know, they could do that and then we would just be over budget. and hopefully that doesn't ever happen. But yeah, it's correct that the city council does, it is their budget. And they have the ability to adjust it however they see fit.
It's their budget in spite of our charter that clearly says that we have approval of the budget, but that is only a recommending body. Is that what we're saying?
You know, and I haven't read all of the intricacies of the charter and how it's set up. Karen and I were discussing this a little bit earlier today, but something that I want to look into further and understand better, but that was how I understood it, is that the library board is, I don't want to say just advisory, because I know you have more responsibility than just giving your opinions, but when it comes to budget, the state code is very clear that city councils are the governing body that oversee city budgetary appropriations.
Yeah, so I'm just thinking of the library.
They would need to be the one that approved the final number that goes into our official budget.
Yeah.
Okay, so just for us to know kind of procedurally, so we approve it, recommend it, then it's got to go to a council meeting where somehow it gets approved as an adjustment. So does it have to go to a meeting, or can they approve it without a meeting? Like, tell me.
Yeah, it has to be in a meeting, because part of the requirement from the state is that we have to hold a public hearing for any change in the budget and give opportunity for any public to come and comment on the proposed change. So it does have to be in a meeting.
Would there ever be a situation where, in general, we're just going to be okay with it, and maybe we would, like what we're doing right now is we're going to go and do a bunch of those at the end of the year and kind of wrap them all up? Is that preferred over, you know, onesie twosie?
Yeah, and really that's the method that we've adopted. Some cities, I think, do it like piecemeal throughout the year as they come. It is a little bit burdensome to do that every time and put that burden on council to have that many public hearings throughout the year. So we do a mid-year budget adjustment agenda item for the council, and then we do a year-end where we try and capture everything else that we haven't for the year. So we just do it in two chunks. There is a little bit of risk with that. First of all, we do it, the middle of June, and so there is still 2 weeks after that where something we didn't expect could happen, and you know, we could go over budget. Just one of the risks that go along with playing the game. But and then also a lot of times what ends up happening, and Ron, plug your ears, on the council, but Erin has a lot of say in how comfortable she feels, and she talks with the council members enough and meets with them regularly and knows what they're comfortable with. A lot of times she will give a department the go-ahead to do something, knowing that it is highly likely that the city council will approve the budget adjustment in the future. There's always a chance that they won't, and then we'll be, yeah, thanks for plugging your ears, Ron. There's always a chance that they won't, and we could be caught with egg on our face, but yeah. It seems to go well. She's very careful with that, not doing it regularly and only when it's something that the department feels is either it's going to save us a lot of money by purchasing whatever they want to do, or there's an emergency type purchase, or, you know, for some reason it makes sense to go ahead and do it and not wait for that mid-year budget adjustment or end-of-the-year budget adjustment. But there are cases, too, where, you know, it's not as prudent, or not prudent, it's not as it's not a timely issue, and we can wait, and so we'll put those ones off and include them in just the next year's original budget proposal instead of bringing it as an amendment. So it's a little bit of a balancing game, and, you know, what item makes sense to put where, but that's kind of the process that we go through.
So kind of follow-up to that. So last year, we as a board recommended following the computer policy and recommended including in the budget, as well as Donna did, $5,000 for equipment, for computer equipment. That was part of the budget, and then the council decided against it. So they removed that line from our budget, which was really interesting because not only did we have the money, it puts us in a precarious position for equipment going forward because now we're out of the equipment recycle policy. We are no longer supported in the same way, which is kind of counter to our charter. And again, as you've seen, it's really kind of a difficult position we're in. We continue, year after year, we continue to build our reserve, but we're not able to spend it down. And it's like, okay, you know, everybody's like, you know, you have money, but then we're being told to stay within our budget, and it's really quite a challenge. So how do you recommend navigating situations like that?
I mean, to me, I don't remember. I was there for those meetings, but don't recall the reason that that was pulled out of the budget. I don't know, Ron, if you remember why.
I'm sitting here going, wow, I guess I'm my age, because I don't remember.
Yeah, I don't recall either, but there's been a lot in between then and now. But I think the best way to avoid that, to prevent that, is just the best communication possible between the board and the council, developing a relationship there where they fully understand what the needs are, why you're recommending that particular thing, and why you feel it's so important, so that when they are making that final decision, they're cognizant of that and less likely to take it out if they understand why it's an important thing to keep in.
Okay.
And she may still decide to pull it out. You know, Ron knows the council does what they decide they want to do.
They do. But this is one that I totally blame.
My experience is that they understand it and how important it is. They usually trust the people that give them the advice, and they go along with it.
Is it because they were covering the expenses out of the general fund for
computers? No, they pulled us out of the recycle policy. I'm trying to think. So in February of 2025, they pulled out $6,830 for computer annual maintenance. Mm-hmm. Prior to the defunding of the grants, I'm trying to follow the rest of this. Because we sent a recommendation May 6, 2025 to re-add this too, and then Donna took it to the council, and the council's like, no, you can't have your $6,830.
Well, I'm beginning to remember a little bit.
Yeah.
Was it because we were going to get some computers that were being
down? Yeah, there were some computers that were going to be taken out of
the so there's no reason to spend that money when we can get them from those that are,
But the problem is we don't want those computers.
Yeah, and that wasn't communicated.
Because like you give us a bad computer, then the patrons, and then it causes problems, the computer's broken. There's a reason why you rotated them out.
Yeah.
And we have an unsupported computer where we're legally required to have access to computers and internet to keep our certifications.
Yeah, that's all I remember of it. I think maybe we just need to communicate in the future that no, that's not an appropriate way to do it.
The reason why we're getting rid of that. And so that's one of those things, like, and even as we talk about the 2026, like, we need to get that back in there. We need to figure out how to do that again. Retreads are not good. We can't do that anymore. So.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We'll do better in the future.
And then kind of like really appreciate all of this. One of the hardest parts for us as a board, and Karen knows that I bug her all the time about this, is we reconcile at the end of the month. And so, you know, the internal system is doing something, and so she almost has to have a second set of books of, hey, this is what's really going on. And this is one of the problems that Donna faced, is always at the end of the year, she was under on labor expenses. You know, because you budgeted, you know, lower revenue, higher expenses, and particularly labor, she was always under because of vacation. So since we're all part-time employees, you don't ever pay vacation, you don't ever do that. So like the formula was broken, which basically built up our reserve. And that's kind of what Donna said. Now, going forward, how do we, and like I said, I understand that once Karen gets this chunk of money, it's kind of her latitude to do that. And so when we hire new people, you know, part-time employees, we're kind of trying to make sure that we stay as tight to that budget as we can. You know, we have every ability to spend more, but we're trying to live within our budget. And so...
Sorry to interrupt you. I was just going to mention that the hard thing with personnel costs specifically is that one of the biggest budgeting principles that we follow is not using one-time money for ongoing costs, because that can get you into a really sticky situation. So if you have a fund balance and you're relying on that to be able to support your personnel, there will be a time when that fund balance is gone, but you still have the personnel, and nobody wants to have to let people go. So it really is trying to find one-time things that we can use that fund balance for, furniture, shelving, other equipment.
Yeah, she does part-time labor, like a summer intern, something like that. That's seasonal.
It's something that we know is temporary, that we're only going to have for that year. I think that's probably acceptable. Just not anything that could be a long-term commitment that could get us in a sticky situation down the road.
So, like, giving out raises, no, but...
Right.
What about like bonuses? Like, you know.
One-time
like,
bonus.
One-time
yeah,
bonus?
I could see that being okay.
Okay.
Yeah.
The last thing I really want to push on is, so the next year's budget, does it include, because so the tax would go through and we would get the tax this year or next year? When would we get, like, let's say that the truth in taxation goes through.
It will be part of this July 1st budget.
So you're forecasting that we're going to have this budget in here, we're going to have these payroll people in here, and, you know, I'm just expecting that that's going to go through. And I would also hope that we would include in that budget some ability to burn down some of our reserve, because our reserve, it's important to have a reserve, but it just seems to be a sticky point that it's as big as it is. You know, having too much, you know, what is it? You're supposed to have 15% of your operating budget. We're closer to 25.
There's different numbers that are out there. The state requirement for our general fund, so this doesn't necessarily apply to the library, but if the library was still part of our general fund, it would apply. Their requirement is you have to hold at least a 5% fund balance. You can hold no more than a 30%.
Okay.
35%.
35. It's
35.
Yeah,
35. So right now we're
so
about
kind of 20. In between there, it's up to the governing bodies of what they're comfortable with and what they want to use the money for, what potential risks are there in the future that there could be a need for a fund balance for. So that's all something that you'd want to, you know, make sure that we fully understand what are the risks, what are, you know, could we lose some piece of equipment, or, you know, we had a fire just this year. Luckily, insurance helped pay for all of the recovery of rebuilding that. But, you know, what if it wasn't insured for whatever reason?
We have lots of questions about the insurance on the library and the books and all kinds of things like that. But that's super helpful for us. I guess maybe one last thing, and I know I keep saying one last thing. So my understanding was Karen recommends, we approve, the council then approves. Karen has discretion within what's been approved. The council would look, again, would probably want us to approve the things that Karen is bringing to the council. But again, exceptions happen and she may need to do that, and they would understand that, right?
Yeah, so the latitude that I mentioned, that really is just from the state compliance perspective.
Okay.
Beyond that, like the board and the council, for, you know, just accountability, can ask for more. You know, that's your prerogative to say, yeah, we know the state requirement, the minimum is that we don't go over budget in total, you know, and we'll never receive a finding as long as that's the case. If we're under budget in total for the department, we'll be okay. But if you want to put the directive out there and the council agrees that, you know, we want to be within budget within each of our various general ledger accounts, you can do that. It makes life a little bit harder for Karen, for sure, for me, when we're doing those budget adjustments instead of netting the various different accounts at this time of the year.
Yeah, I'm not saying to do that.
Each one separately. I
think the latitude I'm more thinking about is like, oh, you know, we're not here as a council and or a board again until after this meeting, and you know, and I think we're well aware of everything that Karen's done or asking for. I mean, we've approved everything. I think the trick for us is I think we need to be a little better aligned with what the council is doing, and you know, however you can help us have more real-time access, like that's really the, you know, the last, you know, and Donna was amazing, but because she was so cautious, there were consequences, and I love how awesome she was, but she was prudent. She, you know, pushed harder than, you know, and stretched some things a little harder than needed to be stretched, and I want to make sure that we spend the money instead of push the people.
She did too much.
Yeah.
Putting down raises and all kinds of things.
Go ahead. Well, I do want to just mention, I think before the tax increase was locked in, it's locked in. I mean, it's going to pass. Now we have to have public hearings, and I'm not going to tell everybody publicly that it's going to pass, but I know it's going to pass. We have a 4-1 vote. So having said that, the issues about the fund balance are going to die down. They're not, it was anticipating that we're going to have to ask for a tax increase that kind of brought it up to a level that it shouldn't have been, because my answer to Kurt Osler when he said, why do they have to have a, for the same reason we do. We have a 35%. We've got to actually spend out of that general fund to keep it at 35% some years.
Yeah.
So it's a little disingenuous to me if we're at 20 and we're at 35 in the council and the library's at 20 or 25, that we have any issues with that. I do not believe. Other than, I can't, one person maybe, the council's going to be concerned about your fund balance going forward.
Well, I just want to make sure we're good and that.
I think we are.
Yeah.
I really do. I think we are.
What's your question, Mark?
So you mentioned, David, in these scenarios of staying under budget, that it's most important to stay under the one number that dictates the entire budget, every line item, right? And so you mentioned, you know, maybe adjusting this line item, you know, this line item's budget, and this one, kind of taking from this one, putting it onto this one, just keeping it all kind of like balanced and shuffled around. And those, I'm assuming, constitute a budget adjustment that needs to go before the council?
Correct.
Now, I'm trying to think of like,
Hold on. It ended.
David left the meeting at 7:36 p.m. or was kicked out.
He's still there in a different stream.
He should still be there.
Because we were using the trial version of Zoom.
I'm using the cheap version. Sorry,
David.
There
we go.
Sorry, David. We only have a few minutes, which is good because I know you've got your kids. So
okay. So and generally, I mean, just from your point of view, and even Ron also, does the council? I mean, do they kind of look at that like moving from column A to column B as no problem. You're under the budget. It's fine.
Yeah, generally. I think there's, you know, especially for smaller budget line items, that's kind of the case. If there's like a capital expense budget that, you know, we have a lot of leftover budget, we're going to need that in a future year to finish whatever project that's being used for. So in cases like that, it wouldn't be as kosher, but operating type budgets that are pretty close to the same each year but fluctuate just based on what happens during the year, the council is usually pretty good about allowing that flexibility that we can go over in one and stay under in another and be okay.
And then within one budget line item, though, we can play and as long as we're not going over, you know, if Karen wants to buy $200 chairs and we're like, no, buy $800 chairs, they'll last longer. Like, as long as we're just playing with that money within the budget line item, like, we're all good. We don't need to,
So I think that's referring to, David, the equipment and how we had to adjust it by $4,000, I think, mid-year. I think you did that for me, like, in November or January.
Yeah,
and we had, Ron was in here, but I didn't formally take it to the council, but my assumption was when we submitted the adjustments that it was explained. And so I sent you I did the May credit card reconciliation, and so I think pretty close to actuals, I just sent you, I CC'd you on it too. We have about $2,700 unexpended if we don't talk the PT wages and we don't talk the benefits. So the benefits will be over.
What about the $7,000 that's coming in from friends?
That has been, so we had $7,700. That's been expended.
Books and materials.
So it went to books and materials.
It went to books and materials, and then we also had CLEF.
Okay. As long as we're, like I said, there's money in the reserve and
That was all spent down, and we are over in several. I have overspent in several funds.
You have modestly.
One final thought from me. Another thing that's tricky this time of the year, so especially, you know, last couple of weeks of June, first couple of weeks in July. Karen may do her very best to spend money now that she has available in this year's budget. But the auditors, they don't give a lot of leeway. And if they come and do their review and see that we didn't actually receive that furniture or those books or whatever it was that Karen was trying to purchase, if we didn't receive them prior to June 30th, they're going to record them in next year. So that is where things get kind of tricky with timing and ordering, and so there are circumstances where you know, things don't work out fortuitously for us, and we ordered something and it got delayed, or, you know, something happened where we might have more budget left over at the end of the year than we anticipated, knowing that we're going to turn around and spend that in the next year's budget. Because we have to. We received the item, and it's going to be recorded in that year. So
he'll be proud of me. We've spent and received all of it, except for one book.
And received.
And received, except for one book. Yeah. We're waiting.
So just for clarification on that, it's always been for government spending, but it may be different for municipalities. As long as it was paid for prior to June 31st. In fact, for the federal, it's September 30th. Before the end of the fiscal year, whether we received it or not was never a question we ever had to broach with any auditor. Is it different for municipalities?
Yes. So the state municipal code and the auditor's compliance guide, we have to receive the item. Or if it's a service that we purchase, the service has to be completed.
That's why it's so hard to hit our budget.
Gosh, that's a big deal.
That's
we
why
can
we have
pay for something site. Ahead of time, but we have to reclassify it as a prepaid asset, essentially.
Yeah.
It's not in our expense accounts for that fiscal year's reporting, and then
we
reverse it out.
That's a big deal. I'm glad I didn't have to fix that before.
That's interesting.
Thank you.
We've gotten that's one of the when we received that finding a few years in a row of The material misstatements due to end of year procedures. That was one of the big ones, is there were some large projects that crossed over years and were missed, and we didn't account for them in the right year, so the auditors had to go back and do those entries for us.
Yeah.
And then write up the finding that, you know, you should have seen this and found it and corrected it. So luckily we did that last year. So.
You guys have been busted before? Is that what you're telling me?
The city has been busted before.
Everybody has audit issues. There's nobody without.
Well, I think we're good. Thank you, David. We appreciate your time. Go hang out with your kids.
Thanks, David.
Good to see you, David. Really good to see you.
We almost should do this once a year. Just have a reminder of a training. That was fantastic.
That is extremely enlightening.
So that's what I think. We need Oprah. We should have, so Rob, which he did it a couple weeks ago, and then we should have the finance director.
Yeah. I just think it's fantastic. Like, that's like, we will be a better board.
We will. I wish we had more board members tonight.
Okay. So. Speaking of board members, we have one application, I believe that's come through, from Rhett Waller to apply for the
I don't know
vacancy.
Who Rhett
is. So he's a friend of the library?
Down. Good.
Oh, he does?
Is he a good guy?
Yeah.
Great.
Yeah, I talked to him for a little bit at the summer kickoff thing.
Awesome.
I got a couple kids
Does
there.
Does the mayor like him? Do you
so
like
she,
him?
So she, I've only met him once at Friends of the Library, so I'm glad to hear, Wes, that he's your neighbor and he's cool.
Yeah, he's very, very cool.
He is very supportive of the library. The mayor hasn't, I think his application has just come through.
Okay, so we can discuss, we just can't do anything about it. So.
Right.
So do we have to then wait until the next board meeting where we have a quorum? Because do we have to recommend?
So the mayor has to interview, and then I think you can recommend.
I'm trying to understand our place in this. Like, are we?
I think
like,
only after the mayor has approved on it.
But so I can only speak from my experiences. I met with the board. I didn't meet with the board. I submitted an application. I met with the mayor. And then I was asked to serve. And I.
So the mayor appoints you.
Mayor appoints you.
Okay.
So I don't even think that the board has anything to do with it.
No. We'd have to look at the charter. The charter will spell that out.
I think the mayor may ask for my recommendation. Mm-hmm.
Okay. Yeah, that would be logical.
Yeah, that would totally make sense.
So I just so you know, my laptop has not been fixed for 2 weeks. They're aware of it. And so I'm borrowing the loaner, and the loaner is having problems. So
oh,
I can't.
Remember how it says computer support?
Yeah, I gotcha. Point taken.
And so.
I do recall that discussion now.
And I'll just
it
tell
like,
you.
So
I don't remember anything like that, but then it starts.
Oh, Wes, you're recording, right?
Yeah.
Because this died. So
oh, okay.
Can we submit your recording?
Mm-hmm.
And I'll just stop.
Yeah.
Oh, mine didn't even record.
Still going, yes.
Yes.
Mine's
so,
still going too, so we're double. But mine's just was intended for transcription.
No, the more the merrier.
Yeah.
All right, so
okay.
Board vacancies. So we've got to find someone to replace the irreplaceable Jessica, which.
Yes.
I can't even fathom her.
I know. So.
I don't want to be here.
So that's.
She's so good.
I know she's so good.
So we have two things left to discuss.
Okay.
We had, there's three things on the agenda. I don't know if we need to do all three, but in the discussion items, you had collection development policy. Now, it didn't have any notes about what you wanted to talk about, but it's on the agenda.
It was regarding potential, well, you and I met briefly, concerns about the displays that we're putting up. We are putting up, we will put up America 250 Pioneer Day, Pride Month display, Juneteenth, and Father's Day. And so I was made aware that this is the first time we're putting up a book display for Pride Month, and that in previous years it had just been a poster, and the staff were a little nervous because there were complaints about a poster
last
year.
There was complaints about a poster.
And so it was difficult because, you know, we haven't observed Heritage Month, which, contrary to my, I think, foundational librarianship principles, which would recommend celebrating Heritage Month.
Yeah.
My first year here, I promised the staff that I wouldn't rock the boat and that I just wanted to observe.
What does your staff recommend?
You know, they haven't ever really had many display opportunities, so I've been asking them to help curate displays.
Yeah.
Okay. I'm going to pull something up.
So this gives them an opportunity, and they are excited. I think we've had such turnover in the staff, so the newer staff are like, oh yeah, we'd love to do this.
Yeah.
And some of the staff who've been here have said, well, we had a poster last year and it had all so many complaints. We're going to get complaints. So I think there's a lot of, there's a little bit of fear. There's a lot of excitement.
Yeah.
So we did have a micro training yesterday about what to do when, if there's a book challenge because of Kristen Ricci's packet
right.
that she brought up.
Right.
Get, yeah. Provide to all of you. What to do in that case. Like, we don't just jump straight into, here's a form of reconsideration.
Yeah.
You know, there's a process. I know Kevin's so big on processes, and it's important, I think, especially with this team because they haven't had a lot of practice using those processes. So we started with step one. We validate and we listen and validate.
Yeah.
Right? And then, you know, going up that process, where does it, at what point does it come down to, here's a reconsideration form?
Yeah.
And so I was looking at the collection development policy and where it goes after they validate and listen and say, here, why don't I just write this down? I'm happy to let my director know. And so far, according to Kim, it's kind of just ended
there. It's been an appropriate way to diffuse that.
And then the next step I've recommended to them is if they continue to push, well, this shouldn't be on your shelf, you need to take it off. I've said, why don't you give them my card? And then if they continue to push, well, I really want it removed, then we can talk about the reconsideration form. But if it comes to me and I can't do that, I will give them the form. We will review it based on the process. And then if they don't like my answer, then they know the next step after me is the board.
Right.
So I just want to be really careful about this. So we went through this once and we did it poorly.
Oh.
In going through a reconsideration process, not of a display, but of a book.
A couple of books.
And what we learned is that because we deviated and tried to accommodate and tried to simplify, it actually exacerbated the situation. So what could have been a very simple-handed situation turned into a very difficult thing.
Okay.
And so I would encourage, you know, I appreciate the training, right? Like help them to handle that. But the policy should be is that anyone and everyone is welcome to submit whatever they want for reconsideration.
Yes.
And I don't think we hide that. I don't think we try to, you know, quell or let them do that. Let them know that that's out there to do. I think it's important that they know, and I have this statement here, the library's role is to provide access to ideas, not prescribe beliefs. Oh, no, it's not that one. A library serves its community by offering diverse viewpoints and encouraging informed, respectful exploration of ideas.
Right.
Right? Like, we're not here to just have what you believe or what you want. We reflect the entire community of Highland, which includes people of differing viewpoints
right.
and beliefs. And so we serve the entire community. And just like you and I had this conversation, I might be offended by the Father's Day collection. You know, I might have had difficult experiences with my father. I may be resentful of that. That may be a difficult display for me. You know, but I too respect that there are wonderful fathers, you know, and again, my father's wonderful. I'm just using
yeah.
it as
yeah.
a
good
as
for the record.
Yes. but I would really encourage us to follow the process. If someone complains, great. And the process actually does go to you first. And the process is then you get to decide whether yay or nay, and it comes out with an official recommendation. And if they choose to then go again, it comes to us.
Okay.
And I think that, use the board as the bulldogs, you know. Yeah. Staff
might be...
But we're
also going to have their back.
Yeah. Because if staff's uncomfortable, talking to the... the difficult patron that is not going to listen. They're not, I don't know, we're happy to just, they just want to be like, well, here's a reconsideration form, and even include with it, some of the language from the, our charter.
The banned books display was recently challenged within a couple years ago.
Mm-hmm.
People were concerned about the books that were identified as bad books, The Giving Tree, stuff like that. They were like, oh, this is appalling that you're talking about banned books. And we respectfully considered their viewpoint, and as a board and as Donna and everybody recommended that we make no changes.
Yeah.
And that's all we, our job is to listen, receive the feedback, and then act according to the values of the library.
Yeah, and the board's going to have your back at the end of the day.
Yeah, because we feel the same way. Now, I would ask that if there are book challenges, I think all of us would like the opportunity to read the book.
Yes.
If there are display challenges, I would like the opportunity to read that, or to see that. So if there are things like that, just please keep us aware so that we can come in and physically look at the display and see that.
Yes.
I know we've done that in the past, but it's okay to have a differing viewpoint. It's okay to have, a different idea.
Yes.
One idea for the display. Well, kind of, but no.
I'm just looking at what you're pulling up.
Right.
There.
So Spence Cox, he in 2023.
Spence.
Right. In 2023, he issued a declaration for Pride Month in Utah, which we can reference. Saying you can have a picture of this. Recognizes that everyone has a place in our state. We understand the shared human need for inclusion, belonging, and kindness. Promote greater understanding and cooperation among residents by cultivating love for all. And, there's really great language here, right? And, of course, it changes a little bit with Fidelity Month. But that doesn't undo, his Pride Month
declaration. If you wanted to highlight Pride books in November...
Yeah, why not?
Yeah.
I agree. And that's what I told my staff. So initially,
I totally agree with that.
And so the reason why, it might seem like multiple steps to have validating and then here's my card instead of it going directly to me is one, in a library, staff will face this throughout their careers. And it's something that, again, just because it doesn't happen today doesn't mean it won't happen in the future.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just something that I think it's important for us to recognize and train. And, that validating also, as a librarian, teaches us empathy and compassion. I may disagree with you, but I respect that you have your opinion, and it may be different from mine, right?
And that's what the library's for.
Right.
Yeah,
and so,
exactly. Yeah.
And it mitigates it a little bit so that you don't have someone who doesn't like every book and then just starts, throwing these challenges in. But also, if there is a reconsideration form, it also shows a pattern of behavior, meaning it's a formal filing, right? And that we keep track because we want to know who's complaining, not necessarily who. We do keep it anonymous. But if there's one person complaining about 100 books, versus 100 people complaining about different books.
Yeah.
That's a little bit different. And
it
so
is.
There's something to be said about that part of the process.
What is...
So our process, just to call it out, is they submit a request for reconsideration to the library director.
Yes.
The library director reviews the concern, may consult with staff or the library board. The director provides a written response within 15 days. The display remains in place during the review and is not removed or altered while the challenge is pending. If the patron disagrees with the director's decision, they may appeal to the library board within 15 days of receiving the response. Then the library board reviews the matter at a board meeting and issues the final decision. And this is what the policy says, and it's interesting. The inclusion of an item in a library display is not to be considered an endorsement by the library.
That's the thing that I don't think people really understand,
yeah.
Who do complain. This is not an endorsement. It is a recognition that we've got different people.
Yeah, but I would just encourage us to train your staff to know what the policy is,
yeah.
And then, you know, let's follow it because...
And you have 15 days to read it.
Well, that's only for a display.
Oh, okay.
The book appeal policy is different than the... I think this is different. I thought the other one was different. I think there's a different one for displays versus books.
I don't know what it would be. What you just described is what I would understand for books. What's been done or will be done with Kristen Ritchie's list?
Packet. Oh, it's safely tucked in a drawer in my
office. So the displays are evaluated under the display palette policy.
I like that answer.
The books and materials are evaluated under the collection development policy. So they do have different...
Yeah, well, that totally makes sense.
Mm-hmm.
We go back and make sure, yeah.
Yeah, two things. One, do we need to note that David returned at 7:37 p.m.?
I made
it. Okay, you know. Two, Ron... The packet that was submitted to us, we went through and found, you know, fewer than half of them were actually in Highlands Library.
Yeah.
The ones we don't own, of course, American Fork and Pleasant Grove own.
Right.
So TLC owns. And then we went through and looked at how they were cataloged, and they are all in age-appropriate categories. So young adult and adult fiction. None of them are in the children's room.
Yeah.
So that's the main thing is, and in order to enter the children's room, you must be at least age 9 or over. If you're under 9, you must be supervised by a parent.
Of course, yeah.
And so, of course, that assumption is made by the books that they check out as well, right?
Yeah.
Because children must be accompanied by a parent.
Well, very good. Very good.
All right. And I did clarify that the display policy only has the 15-day windows, but
yes.
The books does not have a timeline.
Oh, good.
So that does allow us the ability to, if you give us
the
500
next
books,
meeting.
If you're going to give us 500 books, I'm going to take some time to read 500 books.
Of course.
And that'll be great for me. I'll learn some new things. So,
like how to read reels?
No.
I just want to show you Exhibit A. Since my laptop was down this whole week,
I couldn't get
my Cassell to you. David called this my system. It's my post-it notes. So like with each fund code, with each GL code, I had to go in and see. Part of the problem with, we're just small, first of all, and I think we work in arrears in accounting. And so some of these numbers have not been updated since April, the end of April.
Yeah.
So, or some of them, I think my programming one didn't even have April's credit card reconciliation entered yet. So I had to go through and do a lot of manual.
And like this sets us up for success, so thank you.
Well, it helps me understand how to work for next year,
uh-huh.
Right? And so all of these, so I reconciled May today. She gave it to me. I reconciled $8,800 worth of credit card statements. To be able to pull out which ones impacted programming, mm-hmm. what impacted equipment, et cetera, different funds. And so what I emailed you tonight on the spreadsheet is, I think, pretty close to our actuals. And so we are overspent in several funds, so minimally.
It looks great.
Underspent, so as David mentioned with the wages, we are overspent with benefits, and that, I think the council, Ron, will give me a pass because I know Aaron has discussed it with the council. Donna and I overlapped by over a month.
Yes.
And so that increased it dramatically. Also, Donna and I took different sets of benefits. she opted out.
Right, whereas, she did, because her husband provided
the MBA.
Yeah, whereas right. I took benefits with my family.
That's
so,
right.
So, you know, that's going to be tough this first year. And then calculating my part-timers has been a nightmare, I'm not going to lie. Part-timers, it didn't matter how many hours I offered them. One staff member was out sick this whole week.
Oh, my.
I have another, you know, Paige who was like, oh, I'm going to go on vacation for the next 2 weeks. And I'm like, what? No. Nobody gets to go on vacation.
Yeah.
Nobody.
You're going to clock in whether you're here or not.
You can't be sick and you can't go on vacation in June. No. You know, I've heard people sometimes don't let their staff go on vacation in June, and now I understand why.
Yeah.
Again, I think
it's beginning to make sense.
I think the goal here is like, this is hard, and we acknowledge that, and however we can do this the best way and prepare ourselves for next year is what we want to do.
And plus, like, weren't you saying, like, as far as training on the budget, how much you've had from the city?
So,
like this?
So I learned this week that my employees, my part-time staff, their benefits don't come from wages. They come from employee benefits. And mm-hmm. I was calculating it at 15%, mm-hmm. which was 7.5% URS.
Right.
I included FICA, which is 7.65.
Right.
But we don't pay FICA. We don't pay Social Security.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
No. We pay something tiny for, like, is that Medicare? No,
Medicaid, Medicare.
Yes. And then something super tiny for workers' comp.
Yeah.
So it's like incredibly difficult to calculate. And I only learned that and confirmed it as of yesterday. And
it's
2 days
the one
ago.
Change, if I could have one change in the world, it would be that FICA and URS are available to all of our employees, period.
Mm-hmm.
It just drives me nuts that the government has done this since I was a kid. I mean, it used to be you couldn't get FICA if you were a government employee.
Mm-hmm.
You had your own retirement system.
Mm-hmm.
And then they did away with the retirement system. And then, I mean, URS has been around for a long time. But anyway, it's been something that's bugged me for a long, long time.
So I wish I could show you, Kevin, part-time wages have made the pattern over time every month has averaged about $12,000, but it's increased in the last few months since I've been
pushing. Part-time, yeah.
Added the part-time.
Yes.
And so last month I think it was 12,007, right? And so versus like 12,000.
Ron,
in
do
February.
You care?
I don't at this point.
The point is I'm going to be underspent civilian wages.
Uh-huh.
It doesn't matter how hard I push because they come and go. They're not incentivized.
But the fact is you did everything else at the max, which then is awesome.
It is. We're
I'm
good.
Telling you, the last 2 days, I'm like, please don't let the board fire me. Please don't let them. And also, please don't let counsel yell at me. Like, if I'm over, and I was like, I don't want to have a finding. But David just said, oh, when the last finding, I'm like, oh.
The last two findings.
Okay.
So we are what? And less than a percent of the
2% of their budget.
Oh, yeah. So.
Yeah, we're not relevant in the big picture here. But,
yes.
But Karen, right. I think you're doing, like, this is why I was really pushing to make sure that things were spent for, because I understand how awful this is. And I deal with the same thing at my
that
work.
That microscope is gone.
Yeah.
It is. It's seriously, that microscope was only because we don't want a tax increase.
Mm-hmm.
So we need, they have this, and they have that, and they have the library,
and
friends of the library. And
well, so
all that's gone.
I appreciate the push, and yes, it was stressful because it's my first year, and I was like, there's too much. There's too much. Like the grant plus this, it was.
Well, and next year you will spend it more through the 10 months and leave 2 months where you get vacation.
Yeah.
Well, that's a horrible thing. When you look at, again, the wages for part-time over from last year, someone worked way fewer hours than she should have. Like, we budgeted for Kirsten for like 24 to 28 hours.
So we hired another
she worked 11.
Intern. Yeah.
She worked 11. Yeah. So when you look at it, and then all the way, I looked at it yesterday, I was like, oh, it's this is why, right?
Yeah.
And so, and we just don't know. Projecting is hard. You just don't know. So I would say it was hard, but at the same time, thank you, because I told, and I'm going to take Kim out. She deserves to go to, for me to take her to lunch.
Can we give her a bonus?
Can we give her a bonus?
Let's just give her a bonus.
If we can give her a bonus, because here's why. She has worked way over her hours. I mean, we pay
like,
her
like,
for
honestly,
it.
Honestly, like, do it. Like, give them a top bonus.
Uh-huh.
Can we do that?
Yes.
We just heard David say that you can give a bonus.
Well, that's why I asked him, because, like, there are people, because I knew that's what we were running into, right, that problem, and there are people that deserve it.
I mean, honestly, I'm not going to lie, the whole team deserves something.
Yeah. And that's great.
We got it.
We can do it.
You sit down with David and you find out what that number is and you figure out what you've got. And
because we've spent, and I told them the hard cutoff was yesterday.
Mm-hmm.
Actually, the hard cutoff was like Monday. We did all of the spending. And then the last few days were like, what's going to trickle in? Do we have emergency things we need to purchase, right? And all the books came in the last week. If you look, Ron, all of the books have been received. Like, we have $12,000 worth of books right now in tech services where Kim sits. We have $1,000 worth of prize books in the storage closet and another $800 worth of our manga collection there. So, like, $14,000 worth of books.
Hallelujah.
That's
great. I love that came in.
That is fantastic.
All right. I know I like to push on the budget and all of this, but do you want to give your director's report?
Oh.
I read it.
Can I read it?
I read it.
So May was interesting.
Fantastic.
So May's interesting. I didn't know this. The team told me this. They paused story time programming to prepare for summer reading. So that's what we did. We had story time. And then middle of the month, I sent six of our staff to the annual conference for Utah Library Association for professional development and continuing education. And the comments I received from them, I only listed two. The other ones I'll email you. They were so excited.
You've read these, but I
need to send you Libby's, Sonia's, Angela's was deeply touching.
Fantastic.
She said, I think every librarian should get a chance to go to this conference, and she talked about how what she learned from it, and even though some of it was for large systems, there was scalability, and she said, I'm excited to take it back and apply it here. So they, because our staffing, we're short-staffed, a small staff, they couldn't go for the full 2 days, so they broke it up. You know, half went on one day and then half the other day. And then they came back and they reported. I had them each write a small report of, you know, what sessions, just what they took away from each session they attended and what was their favorite part. And, you know, they've been able to share that and use it. It's been great. Right?
That is
great
fantastic.
Technique. Mm-hmm. Wonderful technique.
It is. Absolutely.
Good. All right. I guess that concludes everything. Is there anything else we want to talk about?
Is there anything? I know on the director's report you touched on the open house and the summer kickoff. Is there anything to talk about?
So summer kickoff, So it's kind of, it's tough because this is actually from May's report, right? Mm-hmm. And then we'll talk about it more at the end of the month with the whole board. But thanks for coming, Wes. We had over 400 people in the building. Well, first of all, budget open house. Thanks for coming, Wes. And I think, who else was there? Lynn came by. Rachel
came by.
I saw Amy for a moment.
Yeah.
Were you gone?
I know.
Kevin. Kevin was gone, for the record.
You are.
So I thought it went well. We didn't have...
No, that was this week.
We had a few... I had a few questions. I spoke with a few people. I think the main thing was there were Kim had talking points, and so she had them on the table, and you know there were some inaccuracies. Like some people were saying, "Oh, the tax increase will actually be $7 or $8 per month, not the $2." And so we had...
That word's been spread and it's false.
It is false.
It's absolutely false.
So we had those kind of talking points, like an FAQ, like, is it going to be this? No. If your the value of your median home is over $1 million, then it'll be $2.39 per month.
Yeah.
It'll be like $29 a year. And so we had someone actually, his name is Wayne. He's shown up at council meetings a few times. He asked him, he said, well, that's not what I've been told. Can I take a photo of that? So he took a photo of
it. Good.
And hopefully he has...
Because we know who he's been talking to.
Hopefully he has taken it back to people and shown
the correct information.
Yeah.
Some of the misinformation, so that you're aware what the plan is, on some misinformation about the library that we have in print. The mayor is going to read the statement that's a misinformation and correct it in one of our meetings.
Oh, okay.
So that will be happening before the August meeting.
That's a great way to handle it.
It's a great way to handle it. Brittany came up with that. And no names, just this is what was been said and it's false. This is what's been said and it's false. They don't pay phones, that's false. They don't pay overhead, that's false.
Yeah.
Good.
We pay way more in administrative costs than people.
I know. The one, the reason I was asking about the IT thing is that when you put the two together, it sounds more powerful. It's like 14,000 versus 6,000 or 7,000 in each one of those categories.
And if you would have let me do computers last year, it would be even more.
Yeah, we actually paid, I thought we paid closer to $19,000 in administrative fees.
Yeah.
Because we pay a percentage of salaries for Jay.
Yeah, it's in a different category. There's I was looking at the indirect cost.
Yeah. Oh, yes.
That's where I wanted the IT to go.
Oh, I see.
Because it gives it a bigger
piece of meat
number.
Yeah.
But, you know, that's political reasons, and it's probably not a good reason. But images do matter.
Yeah.
And, when it's broken out, it looks like, well, you're not paying much, you're not paying enough, because it's all broken down in different categories.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So the budget open house was great. Yes.
I do need to leave.
Oh, okay. Oh. We'll just finish up.
So I do just wrap up a few things. So items carried forward for future agendas include cybersecurity policy, the Library Foundation recruitment and fundraising. We'll have to carry forward the minutes from this meeting and the April meeting, which will have to get approved. Is there anything else that we need to address? I guess there's no action in the circulation policy or display policy.
No, there's no action needed.
Okay. So those carry forward. Anything else?
David mentioned spending down reserves, so I will seek guidance and approval from council to spend down. We need new circulation desks. They're terrible.
That's
They're costly. They're about $20,000.
So as you look at next year's budget,
we have it.
Yeah. Okay.
What's there? It's what it's there for.
So because we're not a quorum, this concludes our business for the evening. The time is 8:15. The meeting is adjourned.
Yeah.
Our next regular scheduled meeting is the 26th.
And you can't 24th? Second.
24th.
Oh, 25th.
June 25th. All right. Thanks, Claude.
Yeah, Claude. Goodness for Claude. I'm